Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. Jesus said that having riches will not necessarily lead to happiness. He presented two parables about salvation and the value it has for the person with discernment. The God-man had already introduced the concept of being born again, and he built upon John the Baptist's preaching of repentance. It is impossible to understand the doctrine of the New Testament without the Old Testament. The knowledge of sin is derived from the Mosaic Law, and this is where the gospel begins. There is life after death, and where you end up is entirely up to you. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm very happy that we got you here today. And I'm going to be talking about unbelief versus faith. And this is going to be a teaching sermon. And so it might not be that exciting, but it's going to be a teaching sermon. So I'm going to pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to praise you right now that I have the opportunity to present this message, Father God, that we have from the book of Matthew and other places. And I just pray right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let me be anointed and let the people be anointed so we can learn together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 44. And it says here on the outline here, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man finding treasure in a field that does not belong to him. Realizing its value, he does not tell anyone but sells what he has to purchase the field and retrieve the treasure. And you read from verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. It's a simple story. Person simply walks around. This is from Israel, at the time of Jesus. And he hears about that somehow there is a field where there is some treasure. And he simply finds it out, hides it again, and then he makes a decision. I'm going to sell everything I have. I'm going to buy that field and get the treasure. The next story is very similar, and this is from verses 45 to 46. If you read this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who, when he found one pearl at great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. In other words, this man, actually two different stories here, two men, decided this, that there was a treasure that was worth so much that they were willing to sell everything they had to receive and go and get the treasure. Let me try to illustrate that so you understand that. We have Brother Soterios in our church here. And back in about 1992 or so, maybe 1990, he rented a house in West Sacramento. It was an older house, But it was a nice, not bad place. It was a nice place. And he and his wife just got married. And so they decided to live in that house. So there was a lady that owned it. And she owned apparently a number of houses. So she charged them $450 a month. And for years, Satiris and his wife, Joanne, lived there happily. Well, the lady died. And the son picked it up. And the son decided this, that $450 is not enough for me. I want more money. So what he did was he raised the rent. Satiris talked to him and said, do you need the money? He said, I'm collecting houses. Right now I have 25 houses I bought, and I'm increasing rent. I'm going to buy more. I'm going to have lots of houses. Satiris tried to talk to him about Jesus, and the guy said, no, I don't want to hear about Jesus, because if I got saved, you'd take advantage of me, so I don't want to do that. Well, the guy lived for maybe another 5 or 6 years, and he died. He was not saved. He went to hell. And in hell now, he realized this. I had 30 houses in my name. Now I got nothing. I am not going to heaven. And I really didn't live for anything. So this man was rich for a while and died and left it all. So, salvation is the heart of these two parables, and the value it has for the man with a discernment. If you would go, if I wish I could take you on a tour to hell. You know, like people, pastors take people to Israel, they take them to Alaska on a cruise or someplace. I wish I could have a tour of hell and invite you. And you would stay there probably for half a day. And I would simply walk around there and simply say, just talk to these people and find out, what do they think today? And you will hear this. Here's a sad thing. Hell is full of Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, all type of religion, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a slew of Roman Catholics down there. And they're all type of religions. When they were up here on earth, they were all fighting each other. And then when they die, they come down and realize, I fought the Jews, I fought the Muslims, I fought these, I fought that, and we all together. What's the deal? Well, Satan deceived them. So, this brings me down to the end times. And Jesus wanted to make sure that people understood two things. There's life after death, and heaven and hell are the only destinations after death. So Jesus spoke about fishing using a net, and since fishing was a huge industry around the Sea of Galilee, people had no problem grasping, understanding what Jesus talked about. So let's read right now from verse number 47 and down to 50 in Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast away the bad and cast the bad away. That's a picture now, yeah. nuts come in. It's all kind of different fish in there. Some is good, some is not. They just sort it out. And then Jesus said this, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels should come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some people say, well, why don't we talk about hell? Can we talk about a better subject? Yeah, I can talk about heaven. But the thing is that I think is the most important thing is this. When I was younger, I didn't think much about death. And I was just busy living. And then as I hit 70, I began to think about, you know, someday, you know, my time to go. I hit 80, and I thought about, you know, well, maybe sometime I'm going to go. And the devil threw a doubt in my mind and simply said, how do you know you're going to heaven? And I had to think about it, and I said, well, because I have trusted in Jesus. I've accepted him a long time ago. Asked for forgiveness, I was born again. But you know, the majority of people are not saved. Approximately 500,000 people dies every day in the world. That's not when we have wars. That's just regular stuff. So you have about 500,000 people die every day, and about 750,000 people fly in every day as newborn babies. So there's a turnover. The question now is this, when are you going to go? You don't know that. There was a Jewish American man last week on television. And he had lived in Israel, he had been in their military and moved over here. And he simply said, I got to go back. I can't sit here. I got to go back. I got to fight for my country. So he went back. He lasted 2 days when a Teleron came in and took him out. He's dead. Question is, was he saved? Most likely not. He was Jewish. And Jews don't like Jesus. Can you imagine the thinking of that man? I want to get to thinking here today. He was a successful person here. He had money and so on. I don't know what kind of work he did, but he was successful. And he goes to fight for his homeland. And second day, he's killed. And he's picked up, taken to hell. And I'm sure he said, look at these angels and said, what are you doing? I'm a good guy. They said, no, you're going to hell. You're kidding me. There's no hell. Well, you find out. As he comes close to the gate, they start to check him in. He's beginning to say, what in the world did I live for? Why did the rabbis tell me there's the hell? I mean, Judas has been not saving me. And he realized that the Jewish Messiah, Jesus Christ, prayed for his sins. He was available. But he didn't want it, because he was told that Jesus was a bastard. This is a story, folks, that takes place 24/7 as millions of people are streaming into hell underneath the earth. and being processed. And all of them are simply saying, if I only would have known, I would have done differently. I didn't know. And this is why Jesus spent time on the subject. Let's turn right now to John 3:1-8. We're going to come back here. So we're going to go to the Gospel of John now, chapter 3, and verse number 8. John 3:8. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we need to get born of the Spirit. Let's go up and read a couple of verses here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, come from God. For no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man be born of water, and of the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born physically, and you've got to be born spiritually. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said it to you, you must be born again. Now, what do we base our faith on? And I want to go a little bit deeper on this. You're in the chapel, you're born again, and you believe in the Bible. We use the King James Bible here. So, your faith is based upon the Bible. If the Bible is not true, then we are just as bad off as the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Buddhists, the Muslims, Hindus, whatever it is. So, this book is the foundation for you and me. And so, that's the first decision you got to make. Is this the Word of God? And I made that decision years ago, that this is the Word of God. I had faith as a child. Later on, as I dug into it, got into archaeology, got into history and so on, my faith deepened, and I realized the Bible is the Word of God. Now, we stand upon what is written down, what Jesus said. That's how we are saved. I remember one time I was living in Salt Lake City, and I worked in an office there, and I had Mormons all around, and they were always talking to me, you know, that Christianity you got does not hold up, you know, you need Joseph Smith, you need Brigham Young, you need Mormonism, you need the temple. And I said, no, don't need that. And finally one day, I told the guy this. I said, hey, look, listen, buddy. If I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to go to hell trusting Jesus all the way. He was shocked. He said, you can't say that. I just did. That's how deep my faith is in Christ. So, if we turn on back to Matthew chapter 3, that's Matthew, the third chapter, And we read the following there, Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than me, than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So John the Baptist said that there's a guy coming after me. His name is Jesus. And Jesus built upon this preaching of John the Baptist as he moved on. Let's look in John 5:24 very quickly. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verse number 4. John 5:4. Let me make sure that I got this right. I want to go to John 3, 1 through 8. We did that. So I want to go to John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that hears my word and believe on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I have based my personal life on this. My personal life has been based upon that confession that I am born again. He that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Jews who repented and trusted Jesus for their salvation, they were saved or born again. Let's go to the first chapter of John. That's John chapter 1. And these are verses we read many times. They're well known to you. And we read this. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Jesus came to the people of Israel. Some of them believed. Some of them did not believe. And through the ages, few Jews have been saved. But those that have been saved, they have come through Jesus Christ. Back to Matthew 13 now. Matthew 13. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 51. Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. And that's a question that I want to ask each one of us. Have we really understood the gospel? Have you understood that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you understood that one day we're going to die, the body will drop, But the soul inside, which is the real you, will live on. Just like you get out of your car. You close the door. The car is dead. And you walk away. That's how it is when you die. You drop your car. Body goes to the ground. You walk away. Now the question is, who are you going to walk with? And where are you going? I have said this on page number 2. It is impossible to understand the doctrine of the New Testament without the Old Testament and vice versa. The Mosaic law brings a knowledge of sin, and without the law there can be no conviction because of the teacher, because it is the teacher that points out the Messiah. This is where the gospel begins. The redemptive work offered by Jesus brings us freedom from sin. If you read now in verse number 52 here, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. So, with other words, we bring out what we have learned. We bring out what we have in the Bible. Now, you see the box we have here on page number 2 here on the outline. And then quickly turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 17. Jesus said this, think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot to one tittle, shall in no wise pass for the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If you look upon that illustration we have here on page number 2, the law, the Torah, in Israel, that we had was there were three parts of it. We had the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. And Jesus talked about the law. And the law is divided itself into three parts. The moral law, the practical law, the sacrificial law. Jesus fulfilled the sacrificial law. We don't sacrifice anymore. But the moral law and the practical law still stands. Understand this now. If you say, okay, I'm going to obey the Ten Commandments and everything else that's said in the moral law, that does not save you. If you say, well, I'm going to obey the practical law, I'm going to wash my hands, I'm not going to eat pork, I'm going to do what's right and so on, it doesn't save you. It does nothing for you. These were the laws given that Jesus gave to Moses and said, this is the law, which then simply implicates us that we are sinners. So we cannot get saved by the law, but that does not mean that we don't keep the law. And when we talk about the law here now, we talk about the moral law and the practical law. Let me try to illustrate that for you. You have a young man and a young woman, and they're looking at each other, and they're saying, well, he looks interesting, and he says, well, she looks very interesting too. So they talk and so on and get to know each other, and they make a decision, we're going to get married. So a date is set for the wedding, and guests are invited and so on. And so you have the ceremony, and they are asked the question, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Or do you? He says, yes. And they ask the woman, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? And she said, yes. And then he says, upon this confession, I pronounce your husband and wife. Now they are married. Okay. That's a ceremony. What are they going to do now? Well, usually you have a little reception afterwards. And then you go to your new home that you set up before. And you start living together. And eventually, it might be some children coming along and so on. But now, you were married by a profession. But how do you live your marriage out? Well, the husband cannot say, hey, honey, I just heard my old girlfriend flew in from New York, and she invited me for dinner, you know. You mind if I go and have dinner with her? And the wife would say, absolutely not. You ain't going. And vice versa. In other words, there's some laws here. The laws are simply said, you don't commit adultery. You don't hang out with other people. You don't give away, you don't go to the casino and gambling away the money that you'd be paying rent for and so on. So you are married by a confession, but you are living your life according to the law. It's an unwritten law. And for example, you know, so I don't like that child, you know, so you say, kick him out. And they said, you're on your own, you know, I'm not going to pay for you. You don't do that. You are saved by grace. And you live your life after salvation according to the Ten Commandments, the other part of the moral law, and the practical law. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Let's go back now to the last page here. We go to Matthew chapter 13. Back to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to look now in verse number 54. If I get to Matthew 13, I'll do well. Here we go. Read this. I'm going to read this here from, I'm going to start in verse 53. And when it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. So he left. And he came to Nazareth. This is where he was born. Not born, this is where he was raised. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this a carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? His brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judah, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence or where has this man all these things? Picture this now. Jesus had grown up in Nazareth. He had been he had worked in his dad's carpentry. He was probably an accomplished carpenter. And he was known in town. They were doing services and so on. And so that was just, you know, Jesus, the carpenter. So he left town. They heard some rumors about, you know, when he'd done this miracle and that miracle. And then Jesus comes back, maybe after a year, to Nazareth, goes into the synagogue, where he had been raised. He'd been going there for years. And he started teaching them. And they look up on him and say, who's this guy? He's a carpenter. He's here. Where did he get this stuff from? They had absolutely total unbelief. They were offended and said, who is this guy? I was born in Sweden. I lived until I was about 22 years old. And there's one thing in Sweden that I never did like, and that is called jealousy. They have a law for it called the Janset Law. And that law is simply this, that if you begin to excel in school or work, whatever it is, the people in town get jealous of you, and they simply try to put you down and say, oh, that's just that guy. He's just full of it, you know. So in Sweden, you are never honored in your hometown. Never. And Jesus said, no, the prophet is never honored in his hometown. And Jesus got home to Nazareth, and they said, you know, we don't like this guy. We don't think he is the Messiah. We know he's the guy who grew up here. And he was insulted. In verse number 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. When you have unbelief, the Holy Spirit does not work. You have to have faith. I started a prayer chain years ago. We used to have that. Always had that. And I have faith that if I have 50 people that are on the prayer chain, if I can get two people to pray, we will get results. I do know this. I'm not, when I send a prayer list out, not everyone is going to pray. They're too busy. I don't know this guy, so on. But faith moves God. Can you imagine now the people in Nazareth that spoke these words? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? As they are now been in hell for 2,000 years, not only did they damn themselves, but they hindered the rest of the people in town to come to Christ. And they're standing in hell with them and saying, you idiots, why did you do that? Why did you take away our faith? There are consequences in our lives. Remember this. Each one of us hold someone else's eternity in our hands. Every one of us. There are people that knows us, people we meet on a regular basis, acquaintances, and we are the only source for their salvation. If we don't give them the gospel, if we simply say, well, I don't care about that, I don't like him, and so on, we literally are sending them to hell, and their blood will be upon our hands. But we don't think about it this way. No man lives by himself. In Genesis 6:3, I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to state it. God said that a man can live for 120 years, that's max. Very few people get to 60 or 70. So on the outline here on page number 3, Everyone dies. It's just a matter of when it will take place. Make sure that you have eternal life before you leave this earth. The single decision is the most important: education, job, marriage, children, riches. Jesus made it clear what your priorities should be. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. That's Matthew chapter 16. And we pick it up here in verse number, Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, his time shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Think about some of these rich people that we've had over the years. We had Henry Ford, the Rockefellers, a lot of people are rich. How much money did they take with them when they left? Zero. Did they bring their estates with them? No. They couldn't even take their bodies with them. So here's what I really want to burn into your mind right now. Houses, cars, money, fame doesn't mean anything for eternity. It's something we have here on earth. We got to put bread and butter on the table. We got to eat. We got to have some place to live. But the purpose for you is to be born physically, to be born spiritually, and to walk with Jesus, and then exit into heaven. That's the plan God has for everyone. Jesus said, "Do not have you lay up treasures here on earth, where you have rust, thieves, and all kind of things that take care of it." So, I'm looking back on my life. When I returned to Christ, when I made what I call a recommitment, I was the age of 23. I didn't think, okay, I'm going to do this and that because I want to have lots of stuff in heaven. I never thought about that. I served God because I loved him. As I still serve him. But I realized now, I look at some of my buddies that I went to school with, that had jobs and so on. They had much more than I had. Houses, cars, vacationing, going places and so on. They had much more stuff on earth that I never had. Now they're gone into eternity. Some are saved, some are not saved. Their stuff is left on earth. And I realized this. I never got a boat. I got a little rubber raft. I had a couple of those. I never get to fly an airplane. There's a lot of stuff I didn't do. But I realize now, my treasures is laid up in heaven. That's where I got it. I look at my home. I'm alone now. My wife is gone. And I say, "Thank you, Lord, that we had this. It was nice. But I'm going to leave this. I'm not going to take it with me." All the little things that my wife Ina liked so much, she left behind. Everything. But what she had with her was the stuff, the time she put into Jesus. That's the perspective I wanted to have. I got a college degree. I got a master's degree from seminary. And that really doesn't mean anything. It meant that I could learn, I could do some things. But that was not the purpose in my life, to get those degrees. Purpose in life is to follow him. So let's turn to Matthew. We are in Matthew 16 and verses number 13 here. Matthew 16 is what I have here, and verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He says unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You art the Christ, the Anointed One, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have revealed unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Is that a confession that you can make? When you simply say, when someone come up to you and say, "Who do you follow?" "I follow Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is my Savior." You know this? I noticed this here that took place this week. There's a famous woman. She's about 40, 45 years old. And she had millions of followers, either on Facebook or TikTok or whatever she was. And she was a witch. And she had tattoos all over her body. And she was casting spells. I mean, she really worshipped Satan. Somehow, she got saved. And she really got saved. She went to some church. Somebody led her to Christ. How she got saved, I don't know. She got baptized in water. But she had horrible tattoos over her body of demons, Satan, and other things. And I saw an article today where someone said this. She had went, I think she had her old tattoo parlor. But she simply went, and she couldn't take them out. So she has inked herself black. So they showed a picture of her on the side. Her whole side was just black, pitch black. And she said, "The values I had before, I do not have now. I want to block them out. I'm a new creation." That's pretty remarkable. Someone come out of the occult. Somebody prayed her out and worked with her. But this is really how I want to close this message here, is this. Who do you confess? Who do you believe? If somebody come up to you and say, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I am. I am following Jesus. I'm not going to say, well, I belong to a church. I belong to Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. He is my healer. He is God. He's the Son of God." I pray that you will be able to make that confession all the time. And that you think about what we talked about here today. Where are your priorities? I want to leave you with one more instruction. Thomas Byrne came to us 25 years ago now, something like that. And he was in the bread business. And he was moonlighting as a contractor. And he was a stucco contractor. So we had discussions, and I told him this. You can't do both. You burn yourself out. Because he was up morning doing the bread route and then working with stucco in the day. I said, make up your mind. So he prayed, made up his mind. He quit the bread business, and he started full-time. Very successful. Now, as I watched him, I noticed this. He got to a certain level. He could have simply pushed harder and become a contractor, not only locally here, but he could have been in the state of California. He could have branched out into other places. But he came to a certain level, and then he stopped there, and he has a Christian life. He could have been a multimillionaire, but he chose not to, and he chose to have a Christian life and a testimony. And so he's going to be rewarded for that when he gets to heaven. So if you're successful, you're skilled, and so on, go to a certain level. But then stop. Don't say, okay, that's not enough. I want more, I want more, I want more, more. Unless God tells you to do that. But focus instead of saying, well, this is nice. I got income. I can do this. I can have Bible study. I can do this. I can do that. I don't have to kill myself working hard. So, where are your priorities? So let's say now that you watch me, and every time I say this, there are people watching me that are not saved. And I just want to ask you this. If you heard me talk today and you says, well, I don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure. It is so simple. All you have to do is this. Confess that you're a sinner. You know that. Simply say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe what the Bible said. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. I believe he paid for my sins. Now, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. That's as simple as it is. You might say that prayer, and God will save you right there on the spot. You don't have to be in church. You can get saved any place. When we finish here, after the last prayer, you will see the new screen will change, three crosses coming up. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles say, my friend, and he will take time with you about 10 minutes and make sure that you know what salvation is, reading from the Bible, and making sure that you pray the prayer of salvation to make sure that you are in. When you do that today, would you contact us? Go to our website, eoec.org, and say, I got saved today. Now what? And I tell you what, I have a person to call you, and I will talk to you, and I will just rejoice with you, and I will share with you what you can do. To those of you that are walking with the Lord, some are walking better, and some are walking less, but regardless, you're saved and walking with the Lord. Take time this afternoon. Don't get so busy, but go alone someplace and ask, how is my life? Are my priorities right? And if you feel that you're not where you should be, why not change and say, God, help me. I want to change. God bless you. Here's Thomas.
I got a little story to share. I went fishing with a friend who's a preacher a few days ago. And he told me that he's thinking about retiring, you know. He's been a preacher for a long time, and he's tired. And wants to do other things. And I said, well, you can do that if God tells you you can do that. But you don't have a choice in the matter, really. I said, as a man of God, you have to hear his voice and do what he tells you to do. If he tells you can retire, you can. If he tells you got to keep going, you got to keep going. And that's what I told him. And, you know, I have a lot of, I've been up in Idaho for a little while, and I have a lot of people up there. It's the same question all the time. You know, when are you going to move to Idaho? When are you going to move to Idaho? And I say, I'm not moving to Idaho unless God tells me to move to Idaho. And right now, he hasn't told me. So I'm just visiting. And that is the way it is. For this simple reason, we're not our own, but we're bought with a price. And that's the truth. So I just thought I'd share that today. Father God, thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can take the Word of God and bury it in our heart. Thank you that we can draw upon it day by day as we live on this planet. Thank you that the Word of God has so much depth to it that we can learn from the Word today and learn something extra tomorrow from the same Word, from the same verse. That it is, the Word of God is not shallow, but it's deep. And the Word of God is not temporary, but it's eternal. And the Word of God comforts. The Word of God is life to your soul. So we thank you for your Word. And we thank you, Father, for divine guidance as we go on this short journey that's on the earth, preparing us for eternity. And I want to pray over this situation in the state of Israel. If it's a state that you put together or not, I guess we'll figure that out. But it doesn't appear to me that that's the case. And but the city of Jerusalem, Lord, the Bible says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And so we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for wisdom, understanding, and discernment as we watch these things play out. It's very interesting, the turmoil that is taking place there. And it's very interesting to hear the talking heads comment on what's going on there. Knowing the Word of God, that is a focal point on the earth. We know that. So we ask for discernment as we watch things play out in the world, that we'll be able to see through your lens as to what is going on. And not be deceived by any means. We thank you for our many blessings. We ask your blessings upon all those that tune in to hear the Word of God, and that they will receive a blessing from it. And I want to pray for Angelo, Tina, who evidently somebody snuck up on him and tried to kill him. But you kept him alive. And so I thank you, Father God, that he's going to be fully restored, that he's going to be strong and keep on pushing in your kingdom. And I want to thank you also for the release of this political prisoner, Francis Schaefer Cox, the son of a preacher, whose grandfather was a preacher, named after the famous preacher Francis Schaefer, a political prisoner in the United States, committed no crime, but we know how that goes. But he was released into a halfway house. I pray that that time will pass him by quickly, and I thank you for his release from that wicked, they call it the justice system, I call it an injustice system, but that he will be able to have clear vision for what you want him to do, because I believe he is anointed. And I thank you for blessing him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life.
Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 36th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Unbelief versus Faith. Jesus said that having riches will not necessarily lead to happiness. He delivered two parables in which salvation was at the heart of the matter, and the value it has for the man with discernment. People declare there is no life after death, but the Bible says the opposite. Jesus had already introduced the concept of being born again, and He built upon John the Baptist's preaching of repentance. The Son of God wanted to make sure His disciples understood that it is impossible to understand the doctrine of the New Testament without the Old Testament. The knowledge of sin comes from the Mosaic Law, and this is where the Gospel begins. The redemptive work offered by the Son of God brings us freedom from sin. But the issue of salvation must be settled while you are still alive. Jesus returned to Nazareth and was rejected by His neighbors, who refused to entertain the idea that He was the long-awaited Messiah. There is life after death, and they made the wrong choice. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1934. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.